Have you ever been disappointed? No one? Who said no? Ever? Never been disappointed? Huh? Well, I tell you, some disappointments in life are not really a big deal. I remember one time going to a store only to find out that their hours had changed. And here recently, going to a restaurant only to find out that even though the sign said that the restaurant was open, got in there and it was closed. They didn't have enough workers to be able to have it open. As only the drive-thru was open, and got in the drive-thru and waited in line, you know, and just wait. Anyway, those are maybe minor disappointments, adjustments we have to make in life. Sometimes there are disappointments that are more major. And I imagine that you probably have some of those as well that you can remember. There was a time that I interviewed at a church, and it was seemed like a nice church and a good church from all appearances, and we had a good interview, and everything seemed to be going along very well, and I'd prayed, and they'd prayed, and then they chose somebody else. And to be perfectly honest, I was disappointed. What do we do with life's disappointments? Well, this morning I'd like for us to look at three people who had disappointments in the Bible. In each of these cases, what they wanted was prevented by God. In each of these situations, it teaches us about disappointment and about life. Now, the disappointment will be in three areas: filling a home, filling a position, and filling a dream. And I want to emphasize here, we're not talking about sin at all. All three things that these people wanted were fine. In fact, very good. But the Lord prevented them, and then in the process taught them a lesson. Each involved steps of greater faith, for each person had to give up a right and trust that right to God. Now, today we need to learn the same thing through disappointment. We should learn to trust God. Each disappointment becomes a test on whether we will trust God or whether we will back away from the Lord. You make that decision. If you back away, you lose out. If you trust God in a new way, we grow in Christ and we see greater blessing. And now I've given you the point of the sermon and the conclusion, but we're going to go through the three points anyway. First one, filling a home. Now here was the situation. We find in 1 Samuel 1:5, Elkanah had two wives. His one wife had a number of children, and Hannah was the second wife, and she had none. The scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, that was her husband, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Now, there's a problem of competition. Of course, I don't think two wives of the same husband is a good idea anyway. But, you know, the scripture tells the next verse, her rival, which was the other wife, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so we have these issues of attention and, you know, it's a normal thing for mothers to talk about their kids. Have you ever noticed that? Nobody's noticed that. I've noticed it. I've noticed it's a normal thing for parents to talk about their children. But sometimes those who do not have children feel left out of those discussions. And there can be a feeling of emptiness, for God has given a God-given desire for women to be mothers. The same thing is true today. We can get in those situations and get caught in competition and all the things that go along with it. And then sometimes, unfortunately, there's the disparaging comments that somebody says to somebody, you know, well, when are you going to start your family and all those kinds of things. And people can be made to feel abnormal as somehow deficient, in fact, maybe even diseased. This was a great disappointment for Hannah. She wept. She fasted. But I want to point out that the Bible says that it was God who closed her womb. He stepped into this situation and prevented her from having children. Why? I believe it's because she had a wrong purpose. She wanted them to fill her own home for her own pleasure, enjoyment, and fulfillment. And God wants us to have children to fill His house, to be a part of His family, and to fulfill the work of the kingdom of God. And Hannah had to give up her right to her children. In verse 11, we find that she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. She had to make a decision that if the Lord were to give her children, these children would belong to the Lord, and specifically this first child. Now, this matters to us too, isn't it? We need to recognize that this required a new step of faith in her life. And for us also, this idea of giving up the right to own, and in this case, children. But I want to tell you something. They're not ours. They belong to the Lord. And we need to have that kind of mindset and that kind of attitude that our children belong to the Lord. They have been given to us as stewards, but they don't belong to us. This is one of the reasons why infant dedication services are so important, because it is a visual reminder that these children don't belong to us. They belong to God, and we are partnering with Him to raise our children for the Lord. That's the most important thing in life. We're not raising them so that they can make lots of money. We're not raising them so they can become have political influence. We're not raising them to have the most number of friends and be cool in society. Our goal is to raise our children for Jesus. Now, if He wants those other things, that's fine. But we need to keep first things first. And that is that our children are not ours. They belong to the Lord. And we need to have that kind of attitude. By the way, that does apply to other things as well. We need to realize that what we have should be given to the Lord. I'll tell you about a time that the Lord spoke to me, this was a number of years ago, about my computer. And I actually went over to my office and laid hands, that's back when they were, you know, those big boxes, laid hands on that thing and gave it to the Lord. And today, I think we need to have the same kind of thing happening. We need to have people laying hands on their laptops and on their cell phones and on their other kinds of things. That these things need to be given to the Lord. They need to be dedicated to Him. They need to be used for His glory. Amen. Maybe we need to lay hands on our automobile. Maybe other things that we have. Giving up our right to own these things. They belong to the Lord. And we partner with Him so that these things are used for His honor and for His glory. I personally believe that would change a whole bunch of things if we gave things to the Lord, and then we wouldn't be able to use them for wrong purposes. Amen. All right. Second is the filling of position. Now, the prophet Samuel had an assignment. Oh, by the way, Samuel is the son of Hannah that God gave to Hannah in response to her willingness to give him to the Lord. Well, Samuel had an assignment from God, and that was to go to anoint the first king of Israel. And so God sent him to Bethlehem into the house of Jesse. So he trots right on over there and asks Jesse to bring out his sons. And we're going to go and anoint the one who will be the new king. So out comes Eliab. Now this is not the first king, second king. Sorry about that. So, wow, says Samuel, that's surely the right guy. He's got the looks. He'll be great in all of the photo shoots and in the TV spots. He's tall, and that'll fit right in with the king that we already have, and he's strong, and he'll be able to handle the assignment. And look at the way he stands with his shoulders erect. Man, looks like a real general, and so he can be certainly in charge of the military. That'll be perfect for a commander-in-chief. And look at those clothes. Wow, he's wearing the right threads. He is in line. The public will just eat this guy up. Yes, this guy is the right guy. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In other words, the Lord said to Samuel, forget it. This isn't the one. I don't like your choice, Samuel. You blew it. Why? Because Samuel had the wrong perspective. He was looking on the outward stuff, and he was evaluating the things that were obvious. But God looks at the heart. And that is a matter of character. Samuel needed to fill a position. God wanted to fill a posterity. What did Samuel have to do? Samuel had to give up the right to decide. The decision was going to have to belong to God. This disappointment to him required a step of faith, and he'd have to decide to go with God's choice, not his choice. And so one by one, he makes his way through the seven sons, and God says no to every one of them. Now there are no more boys around. Now he's tempted to think that he goofed and to go back over and pick one of those seven. But God had just told him not to go by outward appearance. And he asked the question, then are all the young men here? There must be somebody else. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. We're not going any further until you do. Now, the application is pretty evident. You can be gorgeous or handsome, but if you don't have character, you haven't got it. You can be brilliant and wise, but if you don't have character, you haven't got it. You can be talented and skilled, but if you don't have character, you haven't got it. Character starts with the fear of God and trust in him. One of the things we have to realize is that we also have to give up the right to decide. That is, if we want God's best, if we want his will, we have to let him guide and make our decisions. To decide a position, to decide a calling, to decide a life's occupation, to decide a spouse, life's partner, to decide where to live. The list goes on and on and on. You may be disappointed when you think something is the best, but it's not what God wants. Go with God. He knows what he's doing. I've shared this story before, and I'll just share it again. I was in college, freshman year, off to a great semester. I was taking calculus, great subject, chemistry, lab science, wonderful, physics, enjoyed it, tremendous. Might have been taking something else, but I don't really remember. I was taking private saxophone too, but anyway, those were great things because I wanted to be a scientist, and that's where my interest was, and I was pursuing that, and I was having a great time, and I would go to chapel at the college, and they'd be preaching about missions. Now, I know that not every service was about missions, but that's what it seemed like. And then I would go on Sundays and I'd go to church and they'd be preaching about missions. And it became evident that God was saying to me, will you be a missionary? And the answer was obvious, no. Who wants to be a missionary? Don't worry about it, I'll get to them. How many physicists do you know that are missionaries? Lord, I've taken the aptitude tests in high school. You know those tests that tell you where your career, best career options are and all that kind of stuff. I do that. Sciences, that's where it's at, man. I bargained with the Lord. I said, I'll be a great layman. I will be one of those. I'll be in church all the time. That was already the case already in church. A tithe all the time is not a problem. I even witnessed and went out door to door and evangelism and those kind. I knew those kind of things. It's not a problem, Lord. And God said to me, will you be a missionary? And I said, no. That went on. And I thank the Lord that in the grace of God, he continued to be faithful and speak to my heart. And it came to a point where in November, I left the campus and I walked and I walked and I prayed and I prayed. And I finally said, all right, Lord, you make my decisions. You want me to be a missionary? I'll be a missionary. And I'll enjoy it. I am deciding to let you decide. I thank the Lord. Now, two or three times, I've tested the doors or headed into missions, and the Lord has closed it every time. I say, well, why is that? Well, apparently the Lord didn't want me to be a missionary. He wanted to know if I was willing to be a missionary. Listen, we've got to come to the point in our lives where we are willing to give up our right to decide and to let the Lord direct and guide our lives, just like Samuel. The third is filling a dream. David was a great king. Oh, by the way, David was that youngest son of Jesse that Samuel did anoint to become king. And he wanted to build a temple. But it was a great idea. Oh, they had been using this tabernacle, this tent, for so long, and now the opportunity was coming to build a temple for the Lord. Now, David had the influence. David was a great leader. People respected him. They would come along behind him, and they would say, yes, if that David is what you want, that's what we'll do. We'll step in. We'll get in. David had the money to do it. David had the materials. He had the manpower, and his dream was to build that temple, and it was time to start. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2, then King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. What a disappointment. David had planned on it. He had hoped on it. He had dreamed about it. And God said, no. What was the problem? David had the wrong past. He was a man of war, a great commander, victory after victory, great military man. But God says, that's the wrong past. Now, wait a minute. That wasn't David's fault. That wasn't something he could change. Now, Hannah, she could change her purpose, and Samuel could change his perspective, but David couldn't change his past. Did God really mean that David's past was going to prevent him from doing something that he really wanted to do for God? The answer is yes. David had to give up his right to a legacy and to a dream. Did he get mad? No. He took a step of faith and gave up that right. He gave up that right to the reputation of being the one who built the temple. He was trusting the Lord and encouraging others to do so as well. We don't find any bitterness, no anger, no malice. We read in 1 Chronicles 28, 8, now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. It was David who said that. He was able to continue to move forward with the plan of God and let somebody else get the credit for what he wanted to do. His plans, his dream, somebody else would get the glory. And the same thing is true for us today. We have to be willing to give up the right to the legacy. Maybe it was your idea, but somebody else will be remembered for it. Maybe it was your plans and your preparation, but somebody else will do it. What are we going to do? Don't get mad. Don't get bitter. Don't have malice. Don't get angry. Give up that right to that reputation. Trust God. This message is about trusting God when you're disappointed with how things go in life. But these disappointments can actually be stepping stones of faith in our walk with the Lord. Actually, they will be. We will either be stepping up closer to the Lord or we'll be stepping down further away from Him. The choice is ours. The disappointments in life are going to come. The question is how we handle them. Do we take a new step of faith and trust the Lord? Or do we try to hang on to things, unwilling to give up our right to ownership? Let me just remind you that we lose what we hang on to, and we gain what we give up. And so as we walk with the Lord, what about those disappointments? What about those steps? Need to become new steps of faith. Will you stand with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning before the Lord, I want to ask you, are there disappointments in life that you're facing right now? Things perhaps that you had wanted and the Lord has denied. Perhaps a position, but the Lord has said no. Perhaps a dream, and it's turned to a disappointment. I wonder this morning if we can take a step of faith and say, oh God, I don't see the same way you see. I don't know the future. And so I am willing to trust you. And instead of becoming bitter, instead of becoming angry, I'm going to take a step of faith and believe, Lord, that you will bring your will about through this. Nothing wrong with admitting to the Lord that we are in fact disappointed. And that disappointment has caused a hurt and perhaps a hole and some longing. But we can match that with a step of faith. I will trust you, and I will walk with you. Lord, I will give up my right to own. I will give up my right to decide. I will give up my right to a legacy and to the glory, that you may have your will, that I may be your servant. This morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you'd say, Pastor, that's what I'm doing this morning. And I'm just going to lift my hand before the Lord to say, that's me. Yes, just up and back down again. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, up now. Yes, God bless you. Now, Lord, you've seen these. These are your people. They love you. They want to serve you. And today, Lord, I pray that you would just come alongside in a special way and to say, my child, walk with me. You will be a part of the kingdom building business, not necessarily in the same way that you expected or desired, but we're a part of building the kingdom of God. Take my hand. Walk with me. Lord, I pray that you would come alongside and provide your grace in this time. And as we go from here, may we be those who are a part of your kingdom, building enterprise for the glory of our King Jesus. And in his name we pray it, amen and amen. God bless you.